We want to go real quickly into share some word with you, and then we've got some acknowledgments to make this morning. Today is our ribbon cutting service for our fellowship hall, not only for the fellowship hall, but for some other improvements that have taken place over the last 11 months. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would like to turn to a passage found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And it's concerning Solomon as they are dedicating the temple. And I want to share a little bit about the physical building that we worship in this morning. So in 2 Chronicles, taking from chapter 7 and verses 5 through 6, the scripture says that King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their positions, as did the Levites, with the Lord's musical instruments. Thank God for musical instruments, right? Which King David had made for praising the Lord, and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, "His love endures forever." Opposite the Levites, the priests blew their trumpets, and all the Israelites were standing. So we find ourselves there that there was worship as they were dedicating the temple to the Lord. There was worship that was going on. There was worshiping going on in the temple, and it was proper and in order to dedicate the temple to the Lord. Today, we're rededicating. I told somebody, I said, it almost sounds like it was backslidden and got renewed. You know, we're rededicating a facility that we've had so many years, and it's an honor to have each of you with us today. Have you ever noticed any of you all read license tags and bumper stickers? Sarah and I saw one license plate the other day, one of these personalized license tags, and we finally figured out it said "Pity the Fool." That's what was. They must have been a fan of Mr. T, the AT. But bumper stickers are fascinating, especially Christian bumper stickers. You know, they're often an expression of the person or the persons and the character and the values that they hold dear, owners of the car, I hope. Some will prompt me to think, and others will just cause me to shake my head at times. I don't understand. Few examples of those stickers that I just thought I'd throw out at you this morning is one was, "Jesus is my co-pilot." Back when I was in the body shop business, I had a lady that she wrecked her car like 4 times. She was a fine Christian lady, known her most of my life, and but she couldn't drive very well. And one of the guys that was working for me noticed on the back of her car, it was a Cutlass Oldsmobile, and there was a sticker that said, "Jesus is my co-pilot." And the guy, Alf was his name, that was working for me. Alf said, "Preacher, you need to tell this lady that she needs to let Jesus out of her car before she kills him, because she can't drive." Yeah. Or either let him do the driving. "Jesus is my co-pilot. Honk if you love Jesus." You know. I love this one. "Save gas. Walk with Jesus. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Don't follow me, but follow Jesus. A blood donor saved my life. I love my church." And then there's some that simply say, "Follow me to church." And that brings me down to where I'm going this morning. While most of us in this room probably realize that believers that we are actually the church. We are the church. It's not necessarily this building in itself, but we're the church. But sometimes we have to think like, you know, I was once told in order to catch a fish, you had to think like the fish, or to kill a deer, you know, if you're against deer hunting, I'm sorry, to kill a deer, you sort of have to think like the deer. You know, to reach the lost, to reach the unchurched, sometimes we have to think like the unchurched. The church, the majority of society, think of it more so as a building. It's the church in general population is considered a place of safe haven, and a rescue mission for the helpless is considered a sacred spot. It's the place that represents the Christian faith, and it's where they expect the people of God to go meet with God. That's from the perspective of the unchurched. Now, of course, we know that we are the church without this building. We understand that because Christ lives within us. But thus, in the eye of the community, the structure that we designate for worship becomes their identifying means for the church. So, all of this is not strange. For worship buildings have always held a notable place in the community. In the early years of creation, actually, the presence of the temple was very significant. In Exodus chapter 40, we find that the church was a place where people gathered in the temple, but it was also the place where the cloud of glory or the presence of God came down into the midst of the people. If you would, that provides a twofold illustration of a building that was dedicated to the worship of the Lord, and from that we can determine that this building was both a place for people to gather and to experience the inhabitation of the presence of God. Okay. Later in the New Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit found place in the hearts of men. That's us, and you too, ladies. And that prompted early theologians, such as John Wesley in particular, to almost totally discredit the church building and the value of the church building. But as time went on, things began to change, even in the viewpoint of Wesley. Even though there is no evidence of public gathering going back into the early church, the first 300 years following the crucifixion, there is no evidence that a church as we know it actually exists. That was most likely because of the oppression and the rule of the Roman government. But there was still a need of corporate worship. In that era of time, people would gather in houses and they would go house to house and they would worship the Lord in the home, which was still a corporate gathering. But let's face it, even in our modern day homes, which were much bigger than theirs, we can still only fit so many people into our homes. But then things begin to change. The need of corporate worship still existed. And probably because most of those early worshipers came out of Judaism. They were saved out of Judaism. And in the Jewish faith, there was significant meaning to the synagogue. So somewhere in the DNA of humanity, somewhere in the DNA of Christianity, there is the need of coming together under one roof in one place for corporate worship. Things changed under Constantine's reign. Under Constantine's rule and reign, pagan temples were ordered destroyed, or they were even converted into places of Christian worship. And 300 years later, after the crucifixion, the church begins to assemble together in larger corporate gatherings in buildings that they were then called temples and eventually evolved in what we now call the church. The wisdom of Solomon began to manifest. The same Solomon that dedicated this first temple began to manifest in Constantine's days, as we saw in Ecclesiastes 9:4-9-12 lines out this corporate setting of worship. When Solomon says, two are better than one because they have a good report or a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. Solomon gave an outline. Solomon gave an outline of the necessity of corporate worship. And we saw corporate worship in a large scale form sort of vanish away for hundreds of years. But then under Constantine's reign, we saw corporate worship come back, and that DNA that existed, probably more so in the lives of those that had came out of Judaism, we find a revitalization and a renewal and a revival of corporate worship. We still acknowledge that, and we still experience that today. In fact, that's why you're here, and we look around this room, and this room is very, very full. But we still have room for more. Amen? So the church house is very important. It's not that we worship the building. It's not that the building is considered sacred in itself, but we find ourselves in corporate worship. Jesus even addressed that in Matthew's gospel. For he said, "For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst thereof." So what we find is that throughout the history of time, the structures that we call churches, just like this building, have served as landmarks and gathering places in the early centuries and still today. Churches are buildings. Many of them bear steeples that towered at one point above everything else in the community. They were landmarks. They were places where community meetings were held. They were places where, even school was taught at times. And of course, they were places where worship occurred to the Lord Jesus Christ. But these buildings, the landmarks that they were looked upon and they were viewed in the public eye as being dedicated places, places given over to worship. So we find again, while we're not worshiping buildings, that the structures that we call churches are very vital and very important in our community. Starting 67 years ago, back in 1958, and I meant to grab the, the original documents in hand now. Starting 67 years ago in 1958, Reverend Irving Smith and 19 members organized the Blue Well Pentecostal Holiness Church. Was anybody there in 1958? I didn't think so. Ballard was. Okay. 1958, Reverend Irving Smith, 19 members organized the Blue Well Pentecostal Holiness Church and built the building that now serves Blue Well Church of God just down the road here in the bottom. Then in 1994, under the pastoral leadership of a younger Preston Mathena, 27, is that right? 29 when he came here. 27 when you came here. And for that 17 years, led the church. They ventured into building the sanctuary that you're sitting in right now in 1994 under the pastoral leadership of Preston Mathena. And the facility that we are sitting in right now was completed, if I remember right, debt-free. Is that right? But soon out of debt. Shortly out of debt. Okay, should I ask you that ahead of time? My apologies. And this church and the body of believers of this church since 1994 has continued to serve the Blue Well community out of this location. And sometimes we take it for granted that everybody knows that we're here and what we're about, and that's not necessarily true. But yet everybody identifies that there is a church up here on this hill. A few years back, we were blessed to take a missions team to Honduras, and there we built a church. And as we went to the mountains of Honduras to build that church, upon the arrival there, there existed a small mud building, very small, maybe 12 foot by 14 at the largest. When we left Honduras, we were blessed to leave them with a nice 40 foot by 60 foot building, and it had metal rafters and a new metal roof on it. But I recall the pastor's reaction. That Honduran pastor began to swell up with tears of rejoicing. And he began to share with me how passersby up on that mountain in Honduras would come by and they would laugh and they would mock at him and his congregation for that little mud building they had. He said, and they would make comments like, is that all the bigger your God is? Is that all the more building that you can have to worship in? Is that all the bigger your God is? And that pastor said, now, he said, when people pass by walking up and down that dirt road, he says, now they can look at this building and they can see how mighty our God is. Because God has made a way for us to increase. And I thought about that as I was putting this together this morning, for this morning, and I thought about how that oftentimes people will say, they will ask me questions, where do you pastor? Or they'll say, where is your church at in Bluewell? And immediately when you say you go up on Route 20, they'll say, oh, it's that really nice building up on top of the hill. They identify with it. They recognize it. And even though there's many that have never walked through our doors, they recognize the building in itself. So well done to, from Pastor Smith on up through Pastor Mathena and all the other pastors that have been here before. Well done in bringing us to where we are today. And well done, Voice of Praise Worship Center, for representing the kingdom of God in this community and being a light shining from off of this hillside. You have done well. Can you give yourself a hand? We're here this morning to celebrate three major accomplishments, but mainly to do a ribbon cutting. The three major accomplishments in the building and ground improvements has occurred over the last 11 months. Achievements that are the result of hard work and people that have been faithful to tithing and supporting the church with their finances and with their presence. In the beginning of May of 24, we found ourselves beginning to work on different pieces of the property. Derek and is Derek here this morning? Derek's not. Derek Neal and Brennan begin to convert the sodium field lights in the gym to LED lighting, which you'll see if you stay with us a little while later this morning. And then we acquired, after converting the lighting, we acquired the services of Beckley Concrete to prep and to resurface the floor with a shiny new gray epoxy coating. And then we contracted all the ceiling repairs to be done and repainted. And all of this amazing work was done to the tune of approximately $10,000. Okay? For those of you that want to do the math, you can write that down. Last fall and just recently completed was the long past due project of landscaping the upper embankment. And you saw all the rock as you drove up the drive this morning. Nathan, thanks the Lord, he's not going to be out there pulling weeds like he's been doing thistles like the past 2 years. That bank has been, it has really been a challenge to maintain. But now it's been covered in fabric. It's been stone put in place. We appreciate Derek Neal again for leading the way in that, and Carrie Helmendollar, both for volunteering their equipment and all of their artist labor and getting that done. And that embankment project was completed at a cost of just a little bit over $12,000. That puts us at $22,000 for those of you that are counting. Last but certainly not least, we will be cutting the ribbon in just a few moments and dedicating our newly refurbished fellowship center. That's a dream that has existed for many years and that had prompted many months of intense decision and discussions and planning by the church council and myself. And rest assured that none of it was done without much thought and conservative planning. But we took on the project of remodeling the entire fellowship center, which you'll get to see just shortly. I'm not a believer in coincidence. I believe in a divine will and purpose of God. So it wasn't an accident that the Buzzo family started joining us for church here over a year ago. And I was aware that Valerie worked for Citizens Building Supply. But frankly, Valerie, I just thought you were a secretary, and I just thought you did books and things like that. I did not know what you did. I just knew you worked there. But during one, in these early planning stages, I asked Valerie a question inquiring if she knew anyone that could do cabinet kitchen type design, to which she replied, me. So we have discovered in our VOPWC family that we have one of the most talented designers in our area. You really are, Valerie. Even the competing suppliers commented when we went and drew up quotes from other suppliers. Even competitors commented on how magnificent the design layout was that Valerie had prepared for us. And we did jerk her around a little bit. We moved cabinets, we moved appliances, and we did a lot of different things. But thank you so much, Valerie. She was also very instrumental in introducing us to several premier contractors of the area. Back in October 2024, upon our request, Valerie gave us a list of top area contractors. I asked her for those of sound reputation in workmanship and reliability, and one of those contacts was Mr. Mike Adams, and it's good to see Mike, that he has been able to join us here this morning. And Mike, thank you so much for pulling away from your church to be here with us today. Following the process of good business practices and contacting various contractors, pursuing labor quotes, we gave the job to Renew Building and Contracting, which is actually Mike's employer. They were awarded the job, coming in at $14,000 less in their quote than the next closest bid. So we thank you so much. And Mike, again, thank Jim and all of your staff at Renew for the very, very cost-effective quote that you gave us. That savings, combined with the great pricing from Citizens Building Supplies, thanks to Valerie, she beat Lowe's, she beat Home Depot, she beat anybody we could go to. And thank you so much, Valerie, for that as well. Thank you, Renew. And it allowed us to bring our project in under budget. Our budget was $83,000, and we brought the project in at $81,000 and some change. So $2,000 below budget. So here's the blessing if you've been doing the math. Over the last 13 months, we have spent $103,000 in building improvements. And I've got some good news to give you. Every invoice has been paid, and every penny was on hand. We did not have to borrow money to accomplish it. God made a way for us to have all things. So surely the Lord has smiled upon us. I thought about it. I didn't tell Pam what to sing, but when she sang the goodness of God, I thought, yes, Lord, you have been good to us. So, so good. The Lord has smiled upon us in so many ways, and He has made provision for us in finance and through people, but it's all about people. It's all about you all. You guys are what God uses to convey the blessing into the church. But I would like to take a moment right now and make some special acknowledgments to some of the people. I've already named most of them, but I would still like to acknowledge some others as well. First, I'd like to express my appreciation to the church council. And I'm going to ask you all, council, if you're in the room, to stand, please, as I call your name. My first appreciation goes out to Pam Dillo. Is Pam in the room? She's already gone over to the fellowship hall. Okay. Pam is not in the room, but we appreciate Pam. She is secretary treasurer of the administrative council of the church. We appreciate her so much. Barry Sadler. Barry, are you in the room? Council member Barry Sadler. And then council member Dave Lester, which is way up there, the guy in the blue shirt, way up top. And he is our IT expert. He knows all that stuff. And also let me say thank you to Madison Browning. I got your name right. Madison Browning. Madison, stand up. Madison is the administrative secretary of the church. All these people have made life so much easier. Now I promise I wasn't going to embarrass, so I'm not embarrassed, but I'm just going to ask. I'm going to ask Miss Valerie Buzzo to come down here just a moment, Valerie. And I'm going to ask my wife to join us. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Mike Adams. Mike Adams, would you come and join us, please? Just for a moment. I'm already 1 minute behind schedule, but. You're good right there. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. We're same height. I mean, that's unusual for me. Valerie, we can't say enough how much we appreciate all of the work that you did and all the things I've said for you. I'm very sincere. You haven't been back there to see it yet, have you? She has not seen her finished product. So she doesn't know what it's going to look like. But I tell you, it was bad enough as it was, but you saved this pastor a whole lot of headache and a whole lot of work. You did a great job designing, and we're forever grateful for you. And we want to present that to you in appreciation of all of your hard work. Can somebody get a picture? Somebody got to get a picture. Madison, if you would do that. Secondly, this is Mr. Mike Adams. This was the head honcho. He was the job supervisor. He's the first person from the company that I met with. And let me say, he impressed me from the get-go, with his, he just spoke of integrity and workmanship. And, I can't say enough, Mike, about how much I appreciate you overseeing the job. He gave us insight in many, many areas that otherwise we would have never saw or never thought about. It would have never occurred to us. But this guy, his many years, how many years you been in the business?
You have to do that. June be 50.
50 years in the business. His expertise was remarkable in helping us along the way. So, Mike, we have for you... Personally, we want to give you this as our appreciation of being the project manager, all of your work, all the help that you have given us. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate that. Yeah, and I got one more for you. So this is the final acknowledgement, and Jim Corner from the owner of Renew couldn't be here this morning. So Mike is the representative. Renew Construction, I can't say enough good about it. And of course you head all of that, but as far as getting the work done. But were an excellent company to work with. Their workmanship, their craftsmanship with people like Mike, Buford Myers. Many of you know Buford is another one. Buford, he supervised all the electrical work. The young man that did the trim work, Kevin, 22 years old and can do trim work like nobody I've ever seen in my life. He was one of your students. That's good. But we want to appreciate Renew Construction and, for all of our appreciation for their superior workmanship and integrity, in doing the job for us. And I also am going to hand to you the final payment. For Renew Construction. It doesn't have your name on it, but Stephanie said to hand that to you. So we thank you guys so much because you have made my job and the church's job so much easier. Thank you both so much. Can we give them a hand? God bless you so much. So much. So this is what I want us to do right now. Is it raining or is it dry for right now? It's not raining. Okay. What I want to do, there's some that are like in wheelchairs and walkers. If you will go to down the hallway here towards the men's bathroom, we're going to open that door where you can observe from there on that, little porch where we come into the church office. But for everybody else that can, we want you to, if you would, to move out there on the parking lot into the area where those orange cones are at to my left. If you'll quickly make your way there, we are going to proceed with the the dedication service and the ribbon cutting. So I'll meet you out there.